precious to me.
Thank you, Miss Camp. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Won't be long, though. July? June. Oh, okay. Oh, goodness. Miss Camp, I like that song, and I like the way you did it. That was a blessing. Open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. Tonight is I Love Jesus night. You say, but the Cowboys are playing. Jesus was here first. Okay? You say, but I want to watch the game. Me too, so I'm going to record it. I can skip all the commercials, all the nonsense, and watch, and I can back it up and watch it over and over again, what I want. And if it's not any good, I don't have to watch it at all. So, but I love Jesus. Okay? Don't stay home because you're going to worship there. If you found your place in Matthew 27, verse number 1, stand with me and we shall begin to read. The Bible says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. And then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered Christ. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, talking of Jesus, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all cried, or they all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. I want you to go back to verse 22 and look at this question that Pilate asked the chief priest and the people. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, faced with a decision about Jesus. Faced with a decision about Jesus. What shall I do? Make the question personal. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. Help me to speak plainly and clearly the thoughts you've given me. Use them, Heavenly Father, to help each of us to look into our heart and life and answer that question, what have I done with Jesus, which is called Christ? Have I accepted Him as my Savior? Have I accepted Him as my Savior and made Him to be Lord and Master of my life? Or do I have no time for Him? I'm too busy in sin and the world. Help us to answer the question this morning in our own heart. And help us to realize that nobody can answer the question for us, neither can we answer that question for anyone else. It is a personal matter, and we must make that personal decision, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit, save every unsaved person in this building and on this property today. Lord, for those that need to come and make this their church home, help them to do so today. For those that need to be obedient in believers' baptism, help them to do that today. And Father, those that need to just get right and start living for the Savior they have claimed, help them not to delay, but make that decision this very day. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. At the writing of our scripture for today, Jesus has just been betrayed by Judas. And he's been turned over to the chief priest, who in turn turns Jesus over to the governor, Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate is to judge him. Having realized his awful deed of betrayal, Judas has gone out and hanged himself. After a time of Pontius Pilate examining this man called Jesus Christ, Pilate had to declare, I find no fault in him. Then Pilate asked the people this question, and I'll use it today for my text and a question that I shall ask over and over again. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? When faced with this question, even though no fault was found in Jesus, they all cried out, crucify Him! Crucify Him! If you'd been in that crowd that day, how would you have answered Pilate? Would you have said, release Him? Or crucify Him. Oh, by the way, whose side are you on today? Who are you living for today? Who is the Lord and Master of your life today? The fact is that every one of us is faced in our lifetime with that very same question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Our answer today will not be crucify Him. He's already been crucified. He died one time forever for sin. He paid for it completely. He's already died. He's already been placed in a tomb. He's risen from the dead. He's paid the required sin debt for the sinner's salvation so they can be forgiven and saved eternally. He's already died for our sins. so we could be born again and live with Him in heaven forever and forever. Yet every person is faced with the answer to our question for today's message. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I want you to know He is real. He did live a sinless life. He did die on that old rugged cross for our sins. He did so we could be saved. And I want you to know right up front today, God wants you to be saved. If you're in sin, if you're living without God, if you're unsaved today, you're living outside of God's will and God's desire for your life. However, you alone must decide how you'll answer this question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You must decide to receive Him as Savior or reject Him. And may I remind you that to reject Jesus, all you have to do is do nothing about accepting Him. You don't have to shake your fist in His face and say, I reject you. Your decision is a decision about eternity in heaven or in hell. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? This morning, for a few minutes, I want to share with you five possible answers that I've heard people give in response to this question. The question is, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? One possible answer is, I shall have nothing to do with Jesus at all. I've heard people say, I've got an agreement with God. He's going to leave me alone, and I'll leave Him alone. You're a fool. God doesn't make agreements like that. Yet people say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want anything to do with the Bible. I don't want to do anything to do with His church. I want to live my life and do my thing and have my fun. And I don't want to be bothered with this man or this person called Jesus and a decision about Him. May I say to you that this is the attitude of many of young men and women today in their 30s. And 20s and teens. I hear them say by word and by action, I don't want anything to do with Him. Some of you listening to my voice in this service today, by your action, you're saying, I want nothing to do with Jesus. He's a nuisance. He's a bother. He's an interruption in my plans for life. Oh, you fool. I hear them say, I will ignore Him. I'll pay Him no heed. I'll ignore His Bible. I'll ignore His Holy Spirit. I'll avoid the Bible and I'll avoid the church and I'll avoid the preacher. I'll avoid invitation time. I'll walk out before invitation takes place. I'll never talk about Him. I don't want anything to do with Him. I'll not give Him any place in my life. Did you know that is an irresponsible answer? That is a foolish answer. To rid yourself of Jesus Christ is an impossibility. People's been trying for 6,000 years to put Christ out of their mind and out of the public place and out of the schools and out of college and out of government. People have plotted to destroy His book and to destroy His church and to destroy His preachers and destroy His memories. Yet they've utterly failed. How can you destroy Jesus, who is God? Someone said if you try to destroy Him with fire, He'll refuse to burn. You try to destroy Him with water and He'll walk on the water. You try to destroy him with a strong wind and storms, and he'll speak to the wind and the storms, "Peace, be still," and the winds will lay down at his feet. The scripture said he will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storms. If you try to seal him in a tomb, he'll rise again. You try to destroy him with the seal of an empire, and he'll break that seal and the empire will crumble. You try to destroy him with the law, and the law will have to say, "I find no fault in him." You try to ignore him, and before long you'll hear a still small voice knocking at your heart's door saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." If it was possible to avoid him till death, be it known to you today that before the undertaker can pick up your body, you would be in hell awaiting the great white throne judgment, where you'll stand face to face with the one you avoided for life. You'll be judged and cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. It is a fool's notion to think that you can ignore and avoid the Lord Jesus Christ and never have to face him in judgment. We all must face him now, or we'll face him later. Another possible answer I've heard to the question, "What shall I do with Christ?" is, "Well, I can't really make up my mind what to do about Christ." Some of you are standing at a spiritual crossroads in your life. You're pondering the question, "Which way should I go?" Some of you have already made that choice and you're on the wrong road. Some of you are asking, "Should I trust Jesus as my Savior so I can be forgiven of my sins? I really do want to go to heaven." Some are saying, "Well, I surely don't want to go to hell." Dear friend, let me say to you, make up your mind one way or the other. You can't have it both ways. It's heaven or hell, and it's your choice. Only you can answer the question for you. It isn't a joke. We're not kidding around. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, the amazing thing is, to do nothing is to turn your back on him. People think, "Well, if I don't do anything bad, maybe I'll still make it into heaven." But you forget, the Bible says we're already sinners. And because of our sin, we're condemned already, because we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:18. You don't have to do one thing to be lost and go to hell. We all are sinners. But we must make a choice to accept Christ as Savior in order to be saved. There's no other way. And the real problem with some today listening to my voice is not making up their mind. It's that you're too much in love with your sin and sinning, and you don't want to decide for Jesus. But may I say again, not to choose Christ is to decide against him. I've never met a person in my ministry, in my life, that has said, "I shake my fist in the face of God and reject him." No, that's not the way you reject him. You reject him by not accepting him. And you're just as lost and just as condemned as if you'd shook your fist in his face and rejected him. One of Satan's greatest tactics is to say, "Oh yeah, you'll want to accept him. Just wait a little while. Just wait a little while." And while you're waiting, you die. While you're waiting, you got to face God. Thirdly, I've heard some say in response to our question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They've said, I'll accept him as my Savior someday, but not today. Someday, but not today. I've heard them say, I don't have any intention of going to hell. I plan to be saved later on in life. But in the meantime, I want to live the way I want to without any boundaries. They say, let me enjoy my sin in my youth. And when I get old, then I'll get saved. But we forget what God says. God says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. God wants your life while you're young. He wants your salvation to take place while you're young. He said, get saved while you're young, and here's the reason. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. See, God is saying, you better realize a heart-hardening process is taking place in our life. Sin does not make us tender and receptive to God. Sin hardens our heart. Sin causes our neck to stiffen and our will to rebel against God. God says the longer you put it off, the harder your heart, the stiffer your neck, the more rebellious your will. Accept him while you're young, before those days come nigh and you have no pleasure in him. To say I'll wait until I'm old is the sorriest of all answers. You're only wanting to use Jesus as a fire escape from hell. You're not interested in knowing him or loving him. Think about that. You want to give sin and Satan the best years of your life and then give God the leftovers that sin doesn't want. I want you to know God deserves the best of our life. He deserves the early part of our life. He deserves our life from our youth. He does not deserve the leftovers that sin and Satan does not want. Sure, I believe a person can be saved in the 11th hour of his life. But the problem is, will you have a chance to pray and call upon the Lord in the last hour of your life? So I was working on the sermon, I remembered a young man when I preached and pastored in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. His name was Jimmy Brewer. I witnessed to him, I preached to him. He was in his late teens. He never accepted Christ. He rode motorcycles, and he is very active in dirt racing. I visited him and talked with him on this particular night before his race on Saturday. And he refused to accept Jesus Christ. Yet he said to me, I don't plan to go to hell. I plan to accept him later on before I die. In that very next race, his motorcycle skidded into a tree, he broke his neck, and he died instantly. I preached his funeral just in his late teens, and his parents asked me to tell the people that he wanted to get saved just before he died. He said, I'll get saved in the last hour of my life. But he didn't have time to pray. He didn't have time to get saved. And believing the Bible, he'll never know heaven's glory. He'll never know the joy of heaven. Because while he had opportunity to make a decision about the question, what shall I do with Christ? He made a decision to put it off. to a later time in his life. And he died. And he went to hell. Fourthly, some people try to answer this most important question by saying, I'll compromise. I'll accept Christ as my Savior and give Him some of my life, but I'm not going to give Him my whole heart and my whole life. They're saying, okay, I'll get saved, but I won't be baptized. I won't have anything to do with His church. I'll live my life the way I want to, and I'll just use Him for my benefit, but never give Him any glory from my life. And my dear friend, more's answering that question today than you imagine. Some of you in this church listening to my voice tonight have answered that question that way. You accepted Him as Savior, but you've never gotten baptized after you got saved. You've never identified with Him and His local church. You do nothing to serve God. You live only for yourself. How foolish. How foolish we are. We forget that Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. For either you'll hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold the one and despise the other. That's the reason some of you who say you're saved hate the church and hate the preacher, because you're serving your master, Satan, and sin, and self, and the world. Jesus is not your master. Why, again, Jesus said in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey? You're ignoring the Word of God. You're ignoring the standards of Christian living. You're ignoring the will of God, and you're living by the standards of the world. And God said in His Word, you are the servant of the one you obey. He's your master. Don't you tell me you love Jesus and you live like hell. Don't tell me you love Jesus and you're representing the devil with your lifestyle. Don't tell me you love Jesus, you never attend church or Sunday school, you never do anything to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey. If you're not living for Jesus Christ, next time somebody asks you if you're saved, won't you tell them, no, I'm serving Satan. Won't you be honest about it? That's what God said. You can't serve both, one or the other. And you're serving, you're the serving, the one you obey. He is your master. Fifthly, there's really only one answer to this question. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Only one answer, and that is, I'll accept Him as my Savior here and now. No delays, no excuses. I'll accept Him. Have you? Are you living for Him? Are you serving Him? I know if I don't answer this question properly, I'll live and die forever. I'll live forever and suffer forever in that place called hell and its torments. Do you know what? As I look at that question in my heart, I rejoice because I can say, thank God I've answered that question. I have accepted Him. I've not decided to just use Him as a fire escape from hell. I've decided to accept Him and love Him and serve Him. When I stand before Him, I give an account of my life. I want it to be written down that I was faithful to my Savior. That I didn't just save Him to get me out of hell or trust Him to get me out of hell. I trusted him not only to save me, but so I could live for him, love him, worship him. You see, that's what God created us for. God created everything in the world for man, but he created man for himself. And when we say, I'm not going to live for God, I'm not going to love God, I'm not going to accept God, we're rebelling against the very plan and design of the Creator for our life. That's the reason you're not going to be happy. That's the reason you're not going to have peace. That's the reason you're not going to be satisfied. Something's always going to be missing until Jesus is your Savior and you've come to that place where you love Him first and love Him most. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? How will you answer that question today? How have you answered that question? Some of you who have been saved need to finish the answer of the question and say, not only will I trust Him, but I'm going to live for Him from this day forth. Some of you need to accept Him today. Some of you need to answer that question, I'm going to accept Christ today as my Savior. Heavenly Father, that's our message.